Howdy, 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 everyone.
Welcome back to a South by Southwest version of Texas, the show about some things Texas.
And some things Californians descending on Austin again.
Again. We've got a couple of topical things in store for you today, but...
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter, and I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
First, as always, our favorite segment.
And yours.
The not sponsor is still giving us no money, no matter how many followers and subscribers we get. Still,
can't say no clout anymore, because zero. At this point, we absolutely have
There's
some clout.
There's clout, just no cash.
No cash.
Our not
All
sponsors.
All clout, no cash.
Not sponsors. Seth, who is our first not sponsor for today's podcast?
Our first not sponsor of this podcast is one we may have done before, but I'm going to do it again. Vegans.
Vegans. Vegans.
Just eat real meat, you pussy.
Vegans.
Ruining Thanksgiving since 1962. It's vegans. Tell me that you're weak and useless without telling me that you're weak and useless. It's vegans.
Are you made of cartilage?
Vegans.
When did it become a political identity?
Vegans.
It's cool if you eat just grass and stuff, but what's with the chemical laden fake stuff?
Vegans.
Make your own food.
Vegans. That's not cheese, dickhead.
Vegans. It's like
the
homies that are vegans that eat just actual food. Totally cool.
Totally fine.
It's
whatever.
The vegan meat and
it
the vegan cheese
on a level that I can't even. It's like, look, it's not more ethical. It's not better for the environment. You're just stupid. That's all it is.
And like, if you have the awareness, or if you have a legitimate,
right.
There are people who
if
they
legitimately
eat meat,
are
they
like, hey, I just don't want to be that part of this. Whatever. Fine.
When you're so aggressive that guys like Robbie Ballinger, who don't give a
rat's butt,
like a crap at all, switching the term they use because they don't want to be associated with a certain type of characteristic. Yeah. You gotta chill.
You gotta
you
chill.
You gotta chill.
You gotta chill.
Our other not sponsor for today's episode of Texish is The Way Chris Williamson Never Blinks.
The Way Chris Williamson Never Blinks.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
The Way Chris Williamson Never Blinks.
You want to have a sexy man steer into your soul and make you feel a little weird and maybe a little turned on?
The Way Chris Williamson Never Blinks. He's sponsored by Visine.
The Way Chris Williamson Never Blinks. Making people feel like their eyes are on fire in 4K since 2022.
The way Chris Williamson never blinks.
Are you a robot?
The way Chris Williamson never blinks.
I got through
most of that without blinking. That was like 30 seconds. I don't know how he does
goes
a full podcast.
30 minutes.
It's really impressive.
He only had David Goggins on his podcast to beat him
in
a staring competition. And guess what? He won.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
It's
that was a multiple $1,000 ordeal just so that he could beat Goggins.
He's a sex. Do you remember that episode of Parks and Rec when Ben was working in DC for the politician that just. He's a sexy version of
right,
that.
Exactly.
Like, I want him to do things to me, but.
But like also.
But I also want him to blink while he does it.
Just a little bit.
So that's the deal killer. Anyway, do you want to hear about.
And that's the only reason Gunnar and Chris Williamson aren't dating.
Exactly. The only reason. The one thing stopping us from dating is him not blinking. All right. Want to hear about what happened one time in Texas history?
Once upon a time.
The day was March 19th, 2016. It was the first attempted shooting at South by Southwest.
The first.
There had never been an attempted shooting until March 19th, 2016.
Gotta love Texas.
Here's the quote from KXAT Austin. Gunshots rang out in downtown Austin early this morning as South by Southwest drew to a close. USA Today reports, according to the Austin Police Department, the shots were fired into the air, a desk pop, at the intersection of 6th Street and Trinity. Everybody just started running, screaming, "Oh my goodness," says witness Sean Smith, who was working as a security guard at a nearby vendor. Thankfully, no one was hurt and suspect was taken into custody and the gun, the thing that caused the ruckus, was recovered by the police. Now, why do I know that this was a thing?
Why do you know that this is a thing?
So on March 19th, 2016, I was at South by Southwest on 6th Street with a couple of friends.
Sure.
And it was really packed. If you've been to South by Southwest, Glad he visited. Not very many people, but on this night there were a lot, and right. 6th Street was blocked off at, you know, two different points, so everyone's really smudged in. And if you've never been to 6th, it's already dirty when it's not South by. So throw in 10 times the amount of people. It's really dirty.
Just a can of sweaty.
It's really congested. The doors to every single bar are not made for a lot of people going in at once or coming out. We're leaving a bar and you have to kind of scoot.
Wait, you drink?
Sometimes. Only one guy gives me permission.
So you're leaving a bar?
Yeah, I'm leaving a bar. I was driving. Okay. I was not driving, but I also wasn't drinking very much. Anyway, we're scooting out and I'm scooting with my hands kind of by my side. Mm-hmm. And my hand just kind of went across something. And in my head, I don't know why, because I hadn't held a gun at that point in about 5 years. I thought that felt like a gun. And then a dude turns to me, lifts up his shirt, points at his gun and says, "You ain't trying to fuck with that gat, homie." I just sort of...
And you were like, correct.
Well, I just was like, okay. And then my honest response was, okay. And then I just kind of kept walking. My friends, when we get out of earshot, go, "Dude, that guy was going to shoot you."
Yeah.
So I think he was trying to look big to his homies, whatever. I happened to... It's a congested area, whatever. Fast forward 48 hours. I'm in the library studying and my friend sends me that article and goes, "Dude, this is the guy that almost shot you. The guy they arrested was the dude that told me I wasn't trying to mess with that gat." So clearly,
thank the Lord that you were not indeed trying to mess.
Well, I mean, I guess the sky was really trying to mess with that gat.
Yeah.
Because that's what he ended up shooting. Anyway, so that was the first attempted shooting at South by Southwest. There's been three more since. Anyway.
Just three?
Yeah, only three since 2016. Oh, and there wasn't South by Southwest in 2021.
So, you know.
Or 2020-21. So, anyway, you want to hear about our small town?
What's the small town of the week?
Our small town of the week is Jamaica Beach, which is a city in Galveston County, Texas.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is, as of the 2010 census, the city's population was 983, and it borders Galveston by the east and the west, the East Bay on the north, and the Gulf of Mexico to the south. Prior to its development, Jamaica Beach was a burial ground for the Karankawa people, meaning it's literally an Indian burial ground.
We talk about that a lot in Texas. Yeah,
exactly.
But that actually is one.
That actually is one, meaning it's probably a little haunted.
How haunted is it?
Enough that only 900 people live there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How many of them are ghosts?
935.
Okay.
Johnny Goyen and Eric Gausserin of the Jamaica Corporation developed Jamaica Beach as a 2,000 lot resort subdivision in close proximity to a marina. The individuals were a part of a development effort where Goyen and Glasserin brothers Jack and Welcome Wilson and Bill Sherrill and Jack Valenti, they acquired an area about 320 acres that was owned by the Moody family. An oil business person named R.E. Bob Smith decided not to be a partner in the development, but he purchased the Moody land and sold it to the developers. So he got in on the deal. And yeah, basically they tried to build this big bustling resort community and it failed because people were like, "Oh, cool, the beach." And then they went to Galveston and were like, "Never mind." And that's
we do that a lot.
That I mean people yeah, all the time
all over Texas.
I've people had go so to Galveston many coworkers that moved to Texas and it'll hit summer and they think, "Oh, I'm gonna go to the beach to cool off." They end up at the Galveston seawall like, what? Is this a lake? No.
No.
That was the Atlantic Ocean
at one point,
and then a lot of mud got into it
and now it's no longer swimmable.
Now it's not very swimmable.
Oh my gosh, even the fish hate it.
I mean, there's not a lot of fish.
You go to Galveston and at night you can hear the screams of the fish that turn the wrong way to go to the Gulf of Mexico. Exactly. And they're just like, why?
Yeah. All of the fish that wash up dead in Galveston killed themselves.
Yeah, that was a suicide fish.
Yeah, it's like the suicide force. Never mind. Who's our badass? I was about to make that joke, and I remember what happened. Hey,
enough on my personality.
Already.
All right, so our badass of the week Texas bidet of the week is Salvatore Sam Maceo. Mm. Now, this is one of our Texas badasses that was not born in Texas, but he does get honorary badass status.
He's honorary badass. Okay.
And it is because he is almost singularly responsible for the crime wave that hit Galveston, Texas, and running all of the casinos a la Boardwalk Empire in Galveston's golden era.
Okay.
Okay. So
this is pre-hurricane.
This is pre-hurricane.
This is back when Galveston was supposed to be the New York of the South.
When it was going to be the New York of the South.
Yeah.
And at one point it did look like it was going to be that.
So. I didn't realize there was gambling. So I'm so curious.
There was gambling. There was absolutely gambling.
Okay.
So he was born on March 1st, 1894. Now he was born in Italy with a couple other brothers.
Gotcha.
Once they immigrated to America, they ended up in Texas. And they ultimately become racketeers in Galveston.
Italians tend to do that.
Well, you know, there's a certain
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, if you're from Sicily and you move to this place and you start
a racket, it's not like you're original on that one, guys.
So they ended up his whole crime family, the Maceo family, ended up controlling the government and organized crime in Galveston City for almost 30 years.
Where's this Taylor Sheridan TV show?
Oh, it's gotta happen.
Copyright.
I am so close to just hauling off and writing a script about all of this.
Okay.
So this era between the 1920s and 30s is known as Galveston's Open Era.
Okay.
His organization, often called the Maceo Syndicate or the Maceo Organization, was involved in gambling, prostitution, numbers racket, and bootlegging.
Again, mafia stuff.
Mafia type stuff. At the height of his power, he controlled both the government and organized crime. And sometimes, this area was known as the Velvet Grove. Okay. Sam held considerable criminal and political influence all over Southeast Texas and expanded the entire empire throughout the state because of Prohibition.
Yep, of course.
So here's kind of what happens. He's born in Palermo, Sicily, to his parents. He has three brothers, one of whom, Rosario Rose Vincent, ends up moving with him and becoming a big part of the racketeering stuff. Once they end up in Galveston, Prohibition takes hold, and Sam and Rose begin to give gifts of wine that they were able to smuggle from Italy to their customers. They just ran a grocery store, essentially.
Yeah.
As their customers became more interested in the liquor, they gradually became serious bootleggers.
All right.
As you often do.
Yeah.
I'm getting Lawless. I'm getting Tom Hardy vibes.
Yeah. Maybe a little cleaner and smoother. Right. Since they were Italian instead of whatever Hardy was in that movie.
Appalachian trash.
We don't take crown. Nobody.
So Maceo allies himself with local gang leader and power broker Ollie Quinn and opens a speakeasy.
Nice.
Really popular around Austin, speakeasies. It's really great. You just Google where the speakeasy is and you can
Find it. Super easy.
Eventually, Quinn becomes Sam's mentor and associate. He and the brothers opened the Hollywood Dinner Club, the Gulf Coast's most elegant nightclub at the time.
Ooh.
And Sam's smooth personality quickly made him the face of the nightclub.
All right.
Quinn gets arrested.
Tight.
As happens with criminals.
With criminal activity.
There is a massive, massive Texas Ranger effort to eradicate gambling.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, the Texas Rangers were started to eradicate Mexicans and mostly gang activity.
Right.
Yeah.
So the arrest of Quinn allows Sam and his brother to gain control over Galveston in its totality.
Whoa.
So this guy's mentor goes down and
he's already got the family set up.
Sam's like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. It's in his blood.
He just moves in and sets up shop.
Sidestep.
Wow. So, their other big venture besides the Hollywood was a club and casino called Maceo's Grotto, which opened in 1929.
Okay.
Maceo soon controlled all of the gambling and prostitution over the city, and their wealth, plus Sam's ability to deal with influential figures, allowed him to exert increasing influence over politics.
Okay.
So, because all the politicians were coming to their clubs to prostitute and gamble and drink, he had sway. He's got a big black book full of, you want this law written?
Well, Sherry said that you're into this, and this, and your wife does not know about it. So
how about you slide a little bit over me?
Do you think, because he's not the only mob, I know you got more stuff.
I'm gonna wrap it up pretty quick.
I know this stuff about you
on
politicians. Do you think it's, I have information on you, or do you think it's, I'm going to withhold what you like? What do you think works?
I think depending on the person, if
Andrew Cuomo, it was probably, I'm going to stop giving you that young tight stuff. And he was like, crap. I've got to.
Yeah. Something like
versus
that.
Mayor Bloomberg, it was probably fine, I'll cooperate.
Yeah.
Just don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he ends up, hanging out with all sorts of different crime members. Yeah. He ends up meeting Al Capone at some point. And eventually he catches narcotics charges in 1937.
That's what got him?
Well, that's what got him. They accuse him of being the mastermind of a nationwide narcotics trafficking scheme, which he was.
Yeah.
He was released on bail, fought extradition in New York, and ultimately was acquitted in 1942.
Dang.
He eventually moves to Vegas
and starts like a string of casinos and hotels.
Okay. So he moves somewhere where his activity was legal, basically.
Yes. Just after the big opening of the Desert Inn, he does die.
Aww.
In the Balinese room, which continued to operate after his death.
What?
Until 2008, when it was completely destroyed by Hurricane Ike.
No way. Yeah.
So, and the last little thing is Sam and Rose transferred controlling interest of most of their empire to a group dominated by the Fertitta family, with investments coming from business interests around the island. Now you'll recognize the name Fertitta.
Yeah.
UFC.
No.
100%.
Wow.
Wow. Right?
That's tight.
There you go. So the whole family is really interesting.
This is a whole other episode.
I could go on for about 20 minutes about his personal life and the affairs and the brothers and all those things.
Mafia people are interesting.
It's interesting.
Can we just say it? I mean, they're so much cooler than cartel guys.
Because cartel guys don't seem to have a code.
Yeah.
I mean,
and for some reason, the code makes the grotesqueness of what mafia people do really interesting.
Well, as humans, we're so, like, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
We are dual people. Like,
we
can do obscene, heinous things and go home at night and love our families.
And, like, donate to charity.
And there's something really interesting about, like, a normal person who tries to live their life well and do good things. To watch something or hear something or read about somebody who can do illegal stuff.
Yeah.
Completely against the grain of what they're used to.
Yeah.
And be a normal person also.
Well, and also I think with mafia people, the stories always do illegal bad things with good intentions.
Right. It seems to be. Yeah. I mean, like, we could go on about that means.
Again, just the movie about the casino in Galveston and the Italian mob operating it is enough for me to be all in here.
And I mean, this all started because of Prohibition. And I got to say, giving alcohol to the people is a very good deed.
Yes, very good.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Normally, we bring you our not sponsors, but today we are excited to talk about an actual sponsor, Hydrate by Good Anya. You can go to goodanyaorganic.com to get Hydrate, which is an all-organic hydration powder supplement. It contains only natural organic ingredients and no sugar at all. It's made of lemon juice, coconut water, stevia, and organic sea minerals. This is the best hydration product I personally have ever used. I take it every single day when I wake up and after my sauna, and I feel incredible. Completely organic ingredients. A good friend of ours introduced us to this, and I can't go a day without it. So get yourself some Good Anya. Get yourself hydrated.
Look, it's not the 1920s anymore. Everybody has a business or a startup of some sort, whether it's a side project, whether you've ditched the silver spoon and are going all in on your side hustle to make it a full-blown business, or you have a small business already, but you've hit a plateau in growth and you're trying to find different ways to turn your marketing dollars into legitimate revenue. Well, Creators Collective is here for you. They are a full-service marketing agency offering marketing, branding, logo design, copy, video, social media management, anything custom to your business or your startup or your side hustle that will help you grow your bottom line, grow your brand reach, and just feel like you have the best dang company ever because your marketing assets are frankly better than everybody else in the game. So what you need to do right now is go to creatorscollective.us and contact them to schedule a call and find how Creators Collective can help you grow your business for the long term. That's Creators Collective. Schedule a call and just grow your freaking business with marketing that freaking works. Texas update? Over the last week, thousands of people have visited Austin for South by Southwest, immersing themselves in activities and experiences local Austinites enjoy every day, namely waiting for over an hour in line to overpay for drinks and for food, sleeping with people based on the type of breathwork they're in, and listening to entrepreneurs rant about Gary Vee.
South by Southwest is on us once again, and Austinites all over the city are surprised at the lack of traffic and availability of parking, forgetting that all the Californians already live here.
Fitness influencer and spray tan champion of the world, Brittany Don Davis, is being sued by the state of Texas for deceptive practices that affected thousands of women who bought her meal plans. Well, at least I still have the aromatherapy and essential oils that the pastor's wife sold to me for my allergies, said suburban moms across the state. You're picturing her, aren't you? Definitely a substitute teacher.
Definitely a substitute teacher.
Yeah, the Weight Watchers didn't work. Jenny Craig didn't work.
Conservative influencer Brett Cooper, seen here checking to see which of the Texas bros is single. highlighted up-and-coming hilarious Texas podcast, Texish, on her show, The Comments Section.
And didn't shout out the Texas podcast. Yeah, Brett Cooper.
Let's just say the comments on that video are way more tame than the one on ours.
Yes, true. Some of them are complimentary.
My notes started taking voice notes.
Wait, did it really? Yeah, okay. Look, we got to talk anyway, about we, this
okay,
now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, awesome.
Like, great, cool.
Super awesome.
Super I'm
really,
flattered.
Really happy.
Clearly hasn't seen our Candace Owens clip.
Yeah, probably.
We wake up this past Friday.
Yeah.
And I got all these messages.
Yeah.
Hey, Daily Wire. Someone on Daily Wire shared your clip. Someone on Daily Wire shared your clip. And in my head, I thought, oh no, they found the Candace Owens clip.
Right.
And then I open it up and Brett Cooper, who's one of their people. And
she hosts the show, The Comments
Section. The Comments Section, hosts her own show. Yeah. Self-made woman. Her content is really interesting. I've seen it. It's good.
I did like a shallow dive and it's funny. Like it seems well put together.
But yeah, she has a short where she plays our liberal tattoos.
She reacts to it, right?
She's reacting to it. And again, it's called The Comments Section. She reads comments. The funniest part to me is she picked two of the most tame comments.
The very tame, like the tamest, least funny.
She picked this lame media company, Q6.
Yeah, who even is that?
Liberal tattoos are dumb. To read.
Right.
To the masses. And yeah, I could not believe my eyes. I really was like, oh, wow. I guess when it's a million people sure, with their right. own show can do it. I just had a moment of like, oh wait, people can.
It was just cool. Like
broadcast really our fun. Stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think? Because I texted you.
Yeah, you did. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just like, man, do we have to talk to Ben Shapiro now? Is that,
I mean, it would be a very interesting conversation.
To be honest, truly 100% transparent honesty, I was happy and flattered and proud. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, like the things we are doing are visible to people that are higher up in, you know,
in this world,
in the content world.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be honest. One of the commodities that is the most valuable at this point in time is attention.
Yeah.
And so whenever you are able to capture the attention of somebody who provides value on a massive scale.
Yeah. 5 million subscribers.
It just feels really good.
Yeah. And that's so I wrestled with this all weekend as far as I'm so excited about this little thing.
Right.
Because she doesn't even say, here's this clip from the Texas podcast. She just reacts to the clip.
Which, to be clear, is fine.
Like, no, that's totally cool. I just mean it's not like this person said, go check out this podcast.
Right.
Just the fact that she was watching one of our silly clips made me feel good.
Yeah,
but then
isn't that weird?
But then I had this weird shame guilt spiral of I shouldn't care either way.
Right.
But,
I shouldn't care at all.
But I mean, we care about the show.
We do. We care about the show. We care about our viewers.
Yeah. We care about not offending people as much as that happens.
It's not the.
We care about entertaining people. We care about entertaining. And we never want to entertain people at the expense, like the real expense of.
The only times we've ever cut anything are when we were like, we crossed a line.
Yeah, we clearly crossed a line. Attack somebody. And
even today, as we're talking, we have a reel kind of going up.
Yeah.
And there's a section of the people watching it who are a little bit offended because it feels to them as though we're making fun of like blue collar workers.
And we're not.
And we're not.
Clearly. If anything, we're supporting.
If anything.
Blue collar.
But I get it.
Yeah.
And whenever you make your opinions known, whenever you go out on a limb and say something in the intention of making somebody laugh.
Yeah.
You risk offending people. And,
sure.
And honestly, I'm at this point, I think I've been able to remove myself from caring about that part of
for
it.
For sure.
Because I know my intention is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have no problem apologizing if I go way over
for
the line
on
something.
For sure.
Like, truly. So that is all good. And yeah, I'm just like, I look at it as I'm proud of, you know, I'm proud of the team that has taken our content from.
Yeah, mostly Ingram, not Jake. But
yeah. Ingram, Jake doesn't do shit.
Jake doesn't do anything. Oh,
you guys are
I'm
good.
I'm gonna switch the camera.
I'm gonna write a software that no one else in the nation has.
Jeez.
Did you know that?
Get a job.
By the way, like actually seriously really quick, like the software Jake wrote is completely unique.
It's completely
unique. No, anyway.
He could sell it.
Brett Cooper talked about our clip. I don't want to give Jake too much credit. Yeah, that was just a really cool moment.
That was a really fun
and
moment.
And while that, so shout out to that. There was a moment where I thought, is Daily Wire going to reach out to us? Because
they think we're...
Are they about to not do some research and then reach out?
It'd be like, hey,
you guys are so funny, yeah, yeah. And then we have to be the ones
like, hey, guys.
Hey.
You should probably watch some other video.
Watch some... Yeah, I wouldn't even turn it down immediately.
Yeah, be like, hey.
I would almost be like, I want you to go look at every...
Just look at every clip.
And then come back to us.
Yeah.
But very, very flattered. Hey,
fair
that
play. Very, yeah.
Any organization very would, very most organizations would share our stuff. Absolutely. In a playful way. Brett Cooper, thank you for thank sharing you our much. Clip. Keep doing what you
You're
do.
Awesome.
We, much respect know, yeah. in the media world to what you do. So that's really cool. We also had a DP get a million views.
We had a DP get a million views.
Our me and Seth had a DP clip. We have a DP.
That we did together.
Million people together. We have a DP clip. That over a million people have seen.
Rarified air indeed.
Yeah, I can't wait to explain this joke to mom. Anyway.
She won't get it.
How do you feel about the DP clip? Because that was out of nowhere.
That was out of nowhere.
That, and it actually kind of reminded me, oh, what a clip. As far as this right. game that we have to play a little bit, because we're an entertainment podcast, mm-hmm. we do... If we want to do this in a serious way, we have yeah. to be on social media. We have to have the reels made. Shouts out, Pouch6Q6.
Absolutely.
Everybody helping us with that.
Because but, that honestly, let's be very honest, the increase in quality of reels has taken...
Has nothing to do grown. With us and everything to do with the team that takes yeah. everything we say into this microphone and does stuff with it.
Yeah, 100%.
But I kind of had lost sight of, well, if a clip doesn't get X amount of views in the first day or two... In my head, I thought, well, that's dead. You know, sure. there goes that opportunity. The Dr. Pepper clip just out of nowhere blew up.
And I have no idea why.
It almost has as many views as liberal tattoos.
It might go over.
It might go over, which is crazy.
Which would be insane.
So how do you feel about that as far as seeing that happen?
I think it's just part of the journey as a content creator, yeah. which as much as we rail against. I know I said it, but look, man, that's what we do.
As podcasters.
As podcasters.
As journalists,
oh god,
reporting.
I would rather be I'd rather be a content creator. Jeez. To be honest,
yeah, but just yeah, really cool to see.
Really cool to see
that clip is doing well. Thank you to everybody who has watched it and shared it. Not thank you to Dr. Pepper who still won't answer our DMs. We got a million views for you guys.
Come on, guys.
Come on, do something about it. Yeah,
DP with a million views.
I can't stop giggling at it.
It's funny.
So yeah, that's happening. Daily Wire, Dr. Pepper, the whole thing.
Yeah, we have t-shirts.
We have t-shirts. Don't forget to go buy t-shirts at texaspod.com. These are our best seller. We got some other options for you. So make sure to go check that out. With the clips continuing to grow.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about and what are you most nervous about?
I'm the most excited about expanding what we do, putting out more clips more often, and venturing back into sketches. That's what I'm most excited about. Because I think the audience that we're building is ready for that.
Yeah.
And will accept it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I'm scared of is that as much as we're building an audience on one platform, I'm worried it won't translate into more listeners. That's my worry.
Fair. But I mean, we can have two different types of audiences.
Yes, that's very true. That's very, very true.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's my fear is that just because this thing is doing well, it doesn't mean that this will do well.
Yeah.
However, it is kind of like a proof of concept.
Sure. Well, this is also the foundation.
This is also the foundation.
The other thing.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm overall excited. It's hard to find something that I'm not excited about.
Yeah.
So same question to you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm most excited about validation is not the right word, but.
Confirmation, maybe.
Confirmation, just clearly there are people that are enjoying what we do. Because if no one was watching, quote unquote, we would have to stop.
We would. We would just switch over and just have dinner.
Well, twice. I mean, that what people are always like, how is your banter so good? Because this is how we talk when we're not doing a podcast for 18 years in one house. This is just how we talk. It's how we behave. Yeah. Again, sorry, mom. So
real sorry, mom.
But for about a year, we were not grinding because it's a podcast. You can't really call it a grind.
Practicing
and knowing that we have good content and we have good interviews and we have something of value in this weird media entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm excited about is the last 3 months and especially this last week, it feels like, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't wrong. I'm not stupid.
Right. I'm not dumb. This wasn't misplaced.
I'm not. This wasn't a, we're not crazy from a, we think this is good and no one else does.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've never necessarily doubted that, but just having that fuel as far as, okay, almost 10,000 people are opting in because they enjoy it. Yeah. And then I'm most nervous about our DMs getting inundated with people who want us to commit suicide.
Sure.
Not because that affects me. Well,
because it's real. It's just like,
yeah, it's not a,
it just makes me sad at it humanity. Doesn't even,
it, yeah, that's what it you is. Know? I don't read the DM or the comments that are basically like, you suck and kill yourself and think I should kill myself. Doesn't affect me in that way. It's more like, okay, if I worry about happening
that person
now, I'm worried about that person. Also, if that's happening now, it's just going to keep, that's going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's more of just a like, well, I don't want that.
Well, you know, eventually
energy in our area,
hand off that part.
Sure. Yeah. To kind of prevent that. So yeah, I'm just, it's nervous from a, well, if this keeps growing, more of that type of stuff is going to fall in here and there.
Yeah.
And it's just a, I think it's the burden of like, I actually want to help that person.
It's an emotional burden.
Yeah. I want to help that person because clearly something's wrong.
Yeah.
That this is what they're saying to this, to a spooky thing. To just
some random
thing.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Real quick to wrap up, because we do got to wrap the episode.
Yeah.
It is South by Southwest. This is a media platform. We are podcasters. Yeah. I get this question a lot. I'm sure you do too, from various people. If I'm going to start a podcast, what are some things I should keep in mind? What should I do? How should I go about it? You know, the general, I want to start a podcast. Do you have advice? So give me like your three best I'm starting a podcast tips. I'll go first.
Okay, you go first. I have a question for you. Here's my answer before you answer.
I'm controlling this.
There you go.
Hey, I'm in control.
Yeah.
I'm in control.
All right.
Seth's being big.
All right.
I'm being big today.
All right, Zach Dillinger is coming
in. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
So I always tell people, first off, choose how often you want to release an episode and stick to it no matter what.
It's a good one.
That's my first one.
Mm-hmm. My first, so we're just doing three.
Yeah, let's do three. Yeah.
My first one is, if you can't commit to doing 100 episodes with consistency, meaning you have, I just go a step further than you. I say, if you can't do 100 episodes in a committed schedule, don't start.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
Just period. And
similar advice, but same.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like if, like with dating, right? Sure. Like if you can't commit to actually being with one person, don't date. Just period.
Sure.
In my opinion. Like,
I mean, that's fair.
If you can't commit to actually doing this all in,
don't do it.
Don't start.
Fair. Second one is, don't worry about your audio equipment at first.
Yeah.
Whatever your price range is, whatever you're willing to spend on a microphone, they make so many great microphones for your iPhone. There are so many free tools available for you to get your voice on a recording.
Yeah.
Do that. Don't feel like you have to spend $1 million on your Shure microphone.
Yeah.
Even it's amazing.
We gave that to Pouch 6 to build this.
Yeah.
Welcome.
You're welcome.
But not everyone has.
Not everybody has that ability.
Yeah.
So whatever your entry level is, accept it and just put it out anyway.
Yeah.
Because we did our first, 50 some episodes with snowball mics.
Yeah. With two snowball mics. And we had three
on GarageBand.
Yeah.
And it was, and nobody could tell, really.
Honestly.
Once we got it dialed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you got it dialed in. There's no we there.
Anyway. So
I like that. So again, it's kind of a further than.
A little further.
Because the people who have asked me up to this point, I actually do say, figure out your video setup from day one.
From day one, yeah.
Not in a have the best equipment possible way, but just in a, when you record your first episode, have your video SOPs figured out. Whether it's your webcam going right into Zencaster or iMovie.
Yeah.
Because
full disclosure, we didn't. That was a huge mistake.
Not huge, but it was a mistake.
It was a huge roadblock.
The one thing I wish I could change, because I wouldn't change our platform. No. I wouldn't change our format. I wouldn't change our content. I would just change, we videoed on our phones and uploaded directly to YouTube from there from day one.
And we didn't.
And I think we missed some of the growth we're getting now early on. But that's okay.
But you live and learn. And now
live
we can
and learn.
Give you the
now
advice.
I can tell people, hey, even if it is your phone directly on you with bad lighting, use it. Like have your video going from day one.
Yeah.
So
my last one is like a soft skill.
Okay.
If you are doing a solo podcast, my recommendation is that you print out a picture of like your best friend, your mom, somebody you really love and can talk to, and put it right by either the camera or right where, like if you're not using a camera, just put it somewhere where you can look at so that you feel like you're talking to a person and not nothing.
Yeah.
That's going to massively change the way that you speak, your pace, your tone. You're going to be a lot more engaged. If you do have a guest,
My advice is to really, truly take the time to ask them questions that you are interested in.
Yeah.
If you have, let's say, a runner on, sure, you're going to ask some running type questions, but don't feel like that's what you're locked into.
Yeah.
Ask them what their favorite foods are. Ask them like why they love where they live. Like ask a question that is important to you.
Yeah. I love that.
And then you will get some genuinely interesting responses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My last one would be make the show that you want to make, not the show that insert important person in your life here.
That you think you should be making.
That you think you should be making. If it is the way that the Swedish people make leather chairs and that's all you want to talk about like, do that with everything you got.
Yeah.
But make the show that you want to make the way you want to make it.
Because better or worse, this show is exactly what we want it to be.
It's well, and like as a practical thing,
yeah.
At first, no one's listening.
Yeah.
And guess what? When your friends listen, they're not going to like it.
They'll listen a little bit, but they're your friends. They see you all the time.
They're your friends. They see you. They don't really want to hear you talking in their car for them. And really, I don't want my friends listening to this because then they get to tell me what they like and don't like. And I'm like, just don't listen.
Anyway.
Like,
yeah,
it's gonna be easier if you just don't. Family too. Like, just if I'm being honest, like you should do what you want to.
No matter what, do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do so that the people that actually like it start listening.
Weird feedback anyway. Yeah. Make sure it's because like make sure you're doing what you want to do. Don't change what you're doing because of other people.
That's it. Just if you're gonna commit to 100 episodes, if you're gonna invest time into learning how to do video, make sure that you're doing something you want to do because for the next year, you're gonna feel like you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
So you've got to just commit to like, I do what I want to do. I enjoy this.
You heard it here.
Heck yeah. That was the South by Southwest Texas panel that nobody asked for, but you got it anyway. So make sure that you subscribe at Texas Pod. Follow us at Texas Pod. Hit up Brett Cooper. Let him know that Seth is heard. Know that Seth is single. And we will see you next week.
That age gap though.
Bye, y'all.